Now you can subscribe to Bob Enyart's monthly Bible study DVDs. These verse-by-verse Bible study videos are great for family Bible study or even starting your own neighborhood Bible study. Each month, you get 4 or 5 Bible study sessions on 2 DVDs. You can subscribe by calling 1-800-8-ENYART or online at kgovstore.com. That's kgovstore.com.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Important things are happening beginning yesterday and then tomorrow. Yesterday, our debate online written with atheist Aaron Raab began last night. I'll tell you about that. And also, tomorrow starts our annual February telethon here to keep Bob Enyart live on the internet for another year. And that is so important. I hope you'll help with that. Also, in a few minutes, we're going to go halfway around the world to bring you a very important guest. I think you'll be fascinated to learn what we're going to learn together. But the debate, wow, with Aaron Raab, part of the debate, Aaron Raab says that Christians believe in magic. So I've challenged him. This is happening at League of Reason, a website in England. You could hear my discussions, debates with Aaron Raab from back a couple of months ago at KGov in our Real Science Friday shows. But I take on his statement that Christians believe in magic, and I argue, and I think he should be able to agree, that magic per se is not limited by reality, by logic or truth. So a god of magic, if one was described, could be presented very differently from the god of the Bible. For example, a god of magic could be presented as changing the past, or simultaneously existing and not existing, or making duplicates of himself, or arbitrarily making it a virtue to hate him. A god of magic could do anything, the kinds of things that the Bible indicate that the true God doesn't do, because the true God is restrained by reality, logic, the truth of his own existence. So it's not really honest. It's a bit disingenuous for Aaron Raab to describe Christian belief as a belief in a God of magic. Now, our telethon begins tomorrow, February 1st, 2012. And the new thing we have out, you could subscribe to our sermon audio CDs, and they play in any CD player, including the one in your car. You could get our Bible study DVDs, our sermon DVDs. You could get our topical DVDs, and you could subscribe to any of these things, and you would then help keep Bob Enyart live on the internet for another year, or you can make a one-time gift beginning tomorrow, February 1st, throughout the month, so please help us. Now, where might you be if your country had the world's second worst healthcare system in the world? Where might you be if in the last 15 years, 3,500 villages have been destroyed? Where might you be if there are 1 million people who are displaced or even hiding? Where might you be? Well, to answer that question, I'd like to introduce Steve Gamier. Steve, welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
Thanks, Bob. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Well, it's an honor to have you on, Steve. Our producer, Russ Holmes from Anchorage, Alaska, who now lives in Denver, he's been following your ministry, Partners Relief and Development, supporting you guys for some time. You're in Norway right now, but the focus of your ministry is not Europe, is it?
No, sir. Our exclusive focus is Burma.
Burma, which is on the other side of the world. And Steve, we want to hear about what you do and what the need is there. In over 5,000 radio and TV shows I've hosted, I think that you might come away with this interview believing that I'm part of the problem, because I don't think not once in 5,000 shows have we talked about the need in Burma. For that, I apologize, and we want to correct that.
Well, thanks, Bob. I appreciate that, but you have a lot of good explanations and reasons. Burma's not often featured in any news outlet because it's just not important to us in the West, and it hasn't been something that has changed in the past 60 years, so the news is a bit boring. You know, this is one of the longest-running civil wars in the world. It is the number one worst military dictatorship in terms of longevity and abuse. The news, they'll perennially focus on Burma and talk about it, but there won't be any kind of sustained discussion till now, that is, because of the new president, Mr. Thein Sein. So it's understandable that you or many of even my close friends in the United States don't know what's happening. And part of my job is to help people understand what's happening. And really, that's part of the story of how Partners started.
Why don't we talk about where Burma is? A lot of people listening to the radio, they can't look at the map of the Far East that I'm looking at right now. But, Steve, our church, I pastor Denver Bible Church. We're not a mega church. We're a small neighborhood church. But we have missionaries we've supported in Costa Rica, the Clarks. In fact, they use our Bible overview materials in their Bible Institute. We have our dearest friend, Cal Zastro, whose 14-year-old son was arrested in China last month as they go frequently to China. One of our former members now lives in Thailand. He had gone to China to evangelize in Thailand, and he met and married a beautiful woman in Thailand. We have Bethany, one of the young women in our church. She goes regularly to an orphanage in Cambodia. So we're somewhat familiar with overseas ministry and international missions, but Burma, where, first of all, where is Burma? A geography lesson.
Well, if you're looking at a map, you've got Bangladesh next to India. India is the big major landmark there. And then next to Bangladesh would be Burma, moving right across the map. Mm-hmm. And next to Burma would be Thailand. So Burma sits between Thailand and Bangladesh, touching part of India in the north and having a sliver of shared real estate with China, as well as touching on Laos. Of course, you've heard the term the Golden Triangle before. That's where Laos, Burma, and Thailand intersect.
Why is that called the Golden Triangle?
I think that that originally came from the intensity and quantity of drugs that are produced in that part of Southeast Asia. One of the world's largest drug narco armies that's ever existed was right there in the middle of that triangle. In fact, I've been to that city, and it was run by a drug lord named Khun Sa, who financed his resistance against the regime's military by selling opium. The DEA, for example, flies over and collects transmissions and intelligence. When I was there last time, they did that every day. So it's an important place in the world.
Burma is, Steve, is Burma considered, I think I see here, the second highest producer of opium? Is that true?
Yeah, they're number two in drug production just behind Afghanistan. That is also run by the military. That's something that's not often talked about, but it's a well-known fact that the military is the power broker for the production of the raw black tar opium, and then the chemical process to turn it into white heroin. And then it's packed by people, or mules they're called, over the mountains into Thailand, China, Laos, and wherever else they're able to get it across the ocean and into market.
And they call the people who transport these mules?
Yeah, that's right.
Wow.
Because they have to walk on steep mountains to get from that particular part of Burma into the neighboring countries.
And you mentioned that there's a sliver of Myanmar, which is what the local name for Burma. We call it Burma, but it's Myanmar. Is that right?
Well, yeah, it's confusing sometimes. The regime just changed the name a few years ago without consulting their people, same way they changed their flag last year without consulting their people. And they changed it from Burma to Myanmar. They mean the same thing, and it's what the regime maintains is that Burma is an anglicization of the word Myanmar. And so they want it to be more of a pure Burman name. Mm-hmm. But since it wasn't done through democratic process, most of the people who work with the internally displaced people that we work with, the refugees or the democracy movement in Burma, continue to refer to it as Burma because that's the wishes of the people of Burma themselves, mm-hmm. as opposed to the regime.
Sort of reminds me of Turkey, where they changed Constantinople to Istanbul from an anglicized name to an anglicized name. You mentioned that a sliver of Burma is on the border with China, and one of the reports I saw is that in recent fighting, refugees are fleeing to China, and you've really got to be in bad shape if you're fleeing to China.
Yeah, in fact, interestingly, what you mentioned that the son of one of your missionary families was arrested. My wife was arrested in China last month in Yunnan province, yeah. And her crime was that she was with two other of our staff on the border of Burma interviewing and meeting Kachin refugees who were fleeing active fighting on the Burma side for safe haven on the China side. And they were arrested by the Chinese authorities and interrogated for a day, held in separate rooms, and then finally released, but then, of course, followed until they left the country. So there is a huge refugee influx right now into China that China isn't willing to make public. Until very recently, they didn't make it public at all because they don't want any kind of unrest or anything disturbing their business interests in the southern part of China, in Yunnan province. Mm. So the people that we're helping up there are called the Kachin people, and you may have heard of them, Bob. They say they're 100% Christian. They're some of the converts of Adoniram Judson. His evangelical outreach at the turn of the century resulted in a large percentage of the Karen turning to faith, but in addition to that, the Nagas, the Chin, the Kachin, and many of the other larger yet small ethnic minorities in what is now geopolitically Burma turn to faith. And so right now the regime is attacking the Kachin villages and resistance positions in order to have strategic control over the part of the country that is the border with Burma.
Could I ask you a moment about the Kachin faith? Judson, he was a Baptist, wasn't he?
That's right.
So do they tend to be Baptist-oriented in their doctrine, their belief in Christ, the literal virgin birth, Christ's death on the cross, his resurrection, provides eternal life for those who believe in Jesus Christ? Is sort of a fundamentalist Christian doctrine that we hold here at Bob and Yurt Live. Would that represent their faith?
Yeah, that's exactly where they're coming from. In fact, their fundamentals are in many ways less sophisticated than ours. You know, they're living in a much more rugged terrain and under oppression for so many years that they have some, you know, these simple things they hold on to, those are a matter to them of life and death. Mm. So when you meet with the Kachin, I met with the chairman of the Kachin political movement, and I met one of the generals in the Kachin army, and you're almost always going to end up praying with these guys because they are seeking not just some kind of military solution or political solution to the war, but they're seeking God's blessing and wanting to honor him in every decision that they make. So it's pretty humbling to be with these people, and it really crushes you to be with the displaced populations of civilians because these are our brothers and sisters, and they're being, you know, their villages are... Bob, in order to help you understand what's happening to the Kachin, I can tell you about one lady I met.
Sure, please do.
I was there a few months ago interviewing the victims of recent fighting and delivering material resources to help these people get through this moment of crisis. That consists of rice for food and tarps to get them out of the rain and basic supplies to cook with. And when I was there, I heard the story of a village that was attacked on June 9th. And the place where I met the people who were from that village was a little valley about 18 hours walk from their original village. And it was protected by the Kachin Resistance Organization. They're called the KIO, Kachin Independence Organization, and KIA, Kachin Independence Army. Mm-hmm. And when I was there, I interviewed people. I interviewed a lady that gave birth the night that the Burma Army attacked while she was hiding in the woods.
Oh, my.
Another woman I interviewed gave birth while they were running for their lives from this attack. And she gave birth on the side of the trail and then picked up her baby and continued to run. I held that little baby in my arms.
Oh, my.
Well, after meeting these people and hearing their story, I met, on my way out of Kachin State back up through the border into China, I met this elderly lady who had come from the same village, and she spent 3 days walking the same distance I had covered that day in a truck. And so she walked to the consortium of community-based organizations that were trying to help these people, where we were basing all of our efforts out of. And when I walked into their makeshift office, she was howling. I mean, she was crying and expressing grief like you've never heard before. And it really shocked me because I was just with her villagers, so I knew something intense was going on. And this group of women were talking to her, and she kept saying something over and over again through her tears and through her grief. And I asked my friend to translate for me, because I don't speak Kachin, and he said that she's saying, "Don't they understand that my son's not an animal? Don't they know we wouldn't even do this to an animal?"
Oh.
And she said this over and over again. So I said, "Well, what's her story?" And he said that on June 9th, when the Burma Army began their attacks this year against the Kachin people in 2011, they came to this village and they took a young man from the village, tortured him brutally, and brought him back to the village center and dropped the remains of his body, his tortured body. They threw it out of the truck and left with the message that if you don't do what we tell you to do, you are next. Mm. So it turns out that the young man that was tortured and killed was this woman's son.
Oh, no.
So meeting him was just another reality check for me to remind me what we're all about. You know, this is my neighbor. This is part of the household of faith, and this is my sister. And if I'm going to live out the essence of my faith, I have to love her the way I would love my own family or the way I say I love Christ himself.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really that kind of story. That just happened 3 months ago, and my wife was just with that population last month. And one of our staff just came back 3 days ago from the same area.
Now, Steve, and we're speaking with Steve Gamir with Partners Relief and Development. Steve, before we forget, your wife, you said she was arrested in China, released after a couple days. How is she doing, and what's her name?
My wife's name is Audney Gamir, and she's from Norway. I'm from Alaska, Bob. So on my way to Thailand, I flew through Japan with Youth with a Mission for a short-term outreach, mm-hmm. and worked with a church there that my wife helped start. And 3 years later, I came from Bangkok, stole her from Japan, went to Norway, and got married to her.
Well, good for you. Sounds great.
Yeah, man, we've been married for 21 years now.
And Youth with a Mission, we appreciate those guys. They're founders going way back some decades now. And there's a Youth with a Mission ministry, a home, right here, just so close to our Denver Bible Church. And I don't know if you heard, Steve, about maybe 3 years ago now, there was a terrible crime in Colorado. A very angry man went into Youth with a Mission, murdered a couple kids, went down to a mega church in Colorado Springs, started firing there, and was shot by a Christian security guard, and then he took his own life. But yeah, that was at a Youth with a Mission right down the street here. The world is filled with suffering, but you guys working in Burma, you have your hands full. And as you said, a lot of people are not aware of what's going on. Now, here at Bob and Yurt Live, we're becoming aware thanks to you and your work. So your wife is from Norway. That's why we're talking to you via Skype right now, right over the internet, and you're in central Norway.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I lived in Thailand for 23 years, and I helped start a couple of churches, first one with Youth with the Mission, actually both of them with Youth with the Mission, and a third little one that I helped start with another organization that I've been a part of called Calvary Chapel. And when I went to the refugee camp along the border for the first time in 1994, that's where I really felt that my faith was challenged at a level that it had never been challenged before, for the same reason that it was challenged when this old grandmother told me about what happened to her oldest son just a few months ago. I was struck with the moral obligation to make faith real by obeying and living the greatest commandment, and that is to do for these people what I would want done for myself. And so Partners grew out of our desire to glorify God by making our faith real and having integrity with not just what we understand from Scripture, but integrity with how we walk it out in relationship to the poor and the needy and the suffering and those who are captive today. Mm. And since we had such a powerful introduction to that segment of our world, you know, that was the thing that really prompted us to get involved with these refugees and start this organization that we run today.
Wow. And the organization is called Partners Relief and Development, and the website is partnersworld.org. You guys, I know, Steve, are registered as a charity in Australia, Canada, New Zealand, Norway, the UK, and right here in the United States. You work primarily with communities impacted by the war in Burma. You mentioned the couple churches that you planted with YWAM, Youth with a Mission. For many years, I've appreciated the Bible teaching of Lauren Cunningham, one of the founders of YWAM. But you also then mentioned Calvary Chapel. Are you referring to the ministry that God founded through Chuck Smith?
Yeah. I worked with a Calvary Chapel church for a couple of years, right after my wife and I got married. And that church helped us start another Karen church in Chiang Mai in northern Thailand. And that church is still going today. It's called Harvest Church, or in Thai, Christak Gepgio. So, yeah, I've been a part of Calvary Chapel, and I have many good friends in Calvary Chapel, too.
Yeah, and I was thrilled early in my life to spend a year out in Costa Mesa, California, attending Calvary Chapel, and we've had some relationship with Calvary Chapel pastors around the country, including here in the Denver area, where we are strongly involved in the effort to protect the unborn child in the womb, recognizing that God made us in His image and His likeness, and we are to love our neighbor. So it's really fun to hear, Steve, the relationships you've had with the body of Christ, with leaders from here in America that have gone out around the world and to reach people with the gospel. Now, Partners Relief and Development, Steve, your last name, I have it right here in front of me, but I'm pronouncing it correctly. Steve Gamir, is that right?
Yeah, that's good. You got it, Bob.
Okay, why don't you spell it for the audience and make sure we know the best way as Americans for us to find out more and help out.
Okay, it's Steve, S-T-E-V-E, Gamer, G-U-M-A-E-R. And you already mentioned our website. If you Google my name or my wife's name, you'll run into our blogs. Mm-hmm. And there is a way there for you to learn more about what's happening in Burma and what our projects are. And just events like this, I really appreciate being able to talk to you, Bob, because being able to get the information out and spread the word, especially in, so to say, in the household of faith, in my family, it means a lot to me. So I appreciate that you take the time in your radio time to highlight the needs of the people in Burma and what we're attempting to do to help them.
Well, it's an honor to do this. Your ministry has really touched the heart of one of my producers, Russ, and he, of course, asked us, could we let more people know, because the need is so extraordinary, and so we're thrilled to do this. And it is awkward for me, after literally 5,000 programs, not having covered this topic, but I'm really thankful that we are right now. So people in the U.S. could go to partnersworld.org, and I know automatically they'll be brought to the USA version of your website. Financial need, of course, that's always very significant.
Yeah. You know, last year we managed to reach out to about 500,000 people, witnesses that we have. And
wow.
People like Russ are the ones who are paying the bills for those people who go into conflict areas inside Burma to help those victims of this regime's campaigns, ethnic cleansing and exploitation. Mm. Now, that number is significant, and we manage to do an awful lot on an awful little. And you'll know from your interactions with missionaries over there how far a dollar goes when you're talking about these primary needs being met. So you're absolutely right about the financial need. Additionally, you know, the thing that we did when we first started getting involved is giving away our time and our stuff, our old clothes or things that we didn't need. Mm-hmm. And eventually we met an orphan whose mom and dad were shot and killed. She was the only known survivor, and we were asked if we'd provide support for this kid. That's how it all started. And that was a $30 gift to provide comprehensive care for a year.
Mm.
So,
wow.
Yeah, yeah. And once you get involved with the child, it's kind of like you with your work with the pro-life movement, Bob. You get involved, and there's going to be more and more and more opportunity to express that element of God's love in the context of that particular issue.
Mm.
And that's what's happened to us. We've got...
Well, Steve, also for people listening, or they might be listening on the internet, maybe in a day or a month or even a year from now, and they might say, well, this really has touched my heart, but how do we know that Partners Relief and Development, how do we know that there's integrity? I want the audience to know that Steve's organization is a member in good standing with the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, ECFA, and that's often a good way to just take a quick check and say, hey, this is an organization that is honoring its commitment to God and using its finances to promote the gospel. So, Steve, we're about out of time. We've got just a moment for one last comment that you could share with us, and then we'll have to go.
Well, I'll just finish with the verse in the Bible that really impacted my wife and I when we met that first child in Choglo refugee camp in 1994.
Hmm.
John the Beloved writes that true love is shown by Jesus laying down his life for the brethren, and that we should do that too. He goes on to say in chapter 3, verse 16, who of us who has material goods and sees material need and does not help them, how can God's love be alive in us? And then in verse 17, he says, let us not love with word or tongue, but let us love with action and in deed. That verse and others have been our guiding light.
Well, praise God. Steve Gamier, partnersworld.org. What an honor to talk with you. May God bless you.
Now you can subscribe to Bob Enyart's monthly Bible study DVDs. These verse-by-verse Bible study videos are great for family Bible study or even starting your own neighborhood Bible study. Each month, you get 4 or 5 Bible study sessions on 2 DVDs. You can subscribe by calling 1-800-8-ENYART or online at kgovstore.com. That's kgovstore.com.